Y'all out there? All right, let's get this thing moving.
Hey, get her done. You know who this is? This is Larry the Cable Guy. And you know who you're listening to? That's right. Randy Burgett on Southern Fairways Radio Show. And if you're not listening to him, you're a communist. These boys is good.
throw a little love out to R.L. Burnside. Old school. Young man, that's a good old rhythm and blues right there.
There you go. I kind of like that.
I hear you. Hey, welcome to another edition of Southern Fairway Sports Radio Show. We are glad that you're here with us as we are broadcasting live from our Strixon studios right here in South Alabama. And as always, today's show is presented by McConnell Automotive, where there are no shenanigans and hassle-free buying at McConnell Automotive. They're located just east of I-65 on Dolphin Street in Mobile, or you can check them out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. Speaking of which, Mitch McConnell will be on with us at the bottom of the hour. If you're an Alabama fan, you definitely want to tune in. If you're not an Alabama fan, you definitely want to tune in because he's got some information fresh off the press. So should be. And Rick, you know, Mitch has got his thumb on that Alabama football program.
Well, there's no doubt about that, and he knows what happened yesterday and what's going to happen tomorrow.
That's right. Well, there you go. You hear the voice right there. That's Coach Rick Cleveland hanging out with us for the show today. And sweet swinging Bobby Hall, the director of golf at Quail Creek Golf Club in beautiful Fairhope, Alabama. Bobby, I understand y'all had you a big turnout yesterday.
Yeah, we had a good crowd. We always do have a good crowd at the Mighty Quail. We had, you know, the guys are really getting into it. The weather's been so nice, and, you know, it's nice. It's humid out there today, and I think it's going to get to 75. Everybody watch out for the weather. There's some rain coming, so be careful out on the roads today. But, yeah, we always have a great time and invite anybody to come out to the Quail and see what's going on. You had Larry, the cable guy, coming on the intro there. Be seeing him in a couple of weeks. Hilton Grand Vacations is starting up down in Orlando, so he'll be there. And maybe I can get a new radio clip for you.
Well, I want to tell you, yeah, I've been watching a lot of his old stuff on I don't know what it is, Love TV, Me TV, whatever it is, okay? And it's pretty funny, him going around the nation doing different things, and it's just been funny to me. But, yeah, always good to hear from Larry the Cable Guy. So yeah. I know you'll be seeing him. And hopefully we can get him back on the show sometime.
Yeah,
we
should. He behind the scenes, I know he's a lot of fun in public when the TV camera comes on, but behind the scenes he's just a really down-to-earth guy. He'll give you a shirt off his back, and he's – very helpful. You don't hear a lot, but he has a lot of charities and things that he donates to, and he just does a good guy. But anyway, thanks for having me on. Good to be here.
Yeah, one of the things, let me mention this real quick. Yeah, you mentioned that you're going down to Orlando for the Hilton Garden Vacations Tournament of Champions.
Hilton Grand Vacations.
Grand Vacations Tournament of Champions. Mm-hmm. And then you're headed out to California.
Correct.
For Pro Rival with John Smoltz.
Yeah, we're going to be at Indian Wells. I've never been. Looking forward. I've never been to Palm Springs, so this will be a real treat for me. Yeah, the Pro Rivals is a combination of Major League Baseball, National Hockey League, NBA.
A little tennis
with Marty Fish, and football. Yeah. And the major sports get together, and these guys are still competitive, but they're not in their league or in their element anymore, but they want to play golf. And it's a big, huge buddy trip for them. And, you know, the Hall of Famers are there, and John Smoltz is there as a new commissioner, and just some great guys that can play golf, and they're still competitive. And you should hear the trash talking. And Josh Donaldson, he is Mr. Trash Talker. I know we talk about Phillip Rivers, but, boy, Josh can come alive with a whole bunch of stuff. It's a lot of fun to be around these guys, and I'm looking forward to helping them out. But, yeah, we'll be in Palm Springs February, I think I'm 14, 15, 16, something like that.
Well, you may have an extended trip because we may go right on over to Dana Point, go to the coast there. Our buddy Jim Starkey, we call him Sparky, was we had a great conversation last night prior to the football game. That beatdown last night, we talked a little bit about that. Of course, Indiana gets the win over the Oregon Ducks, 56-22. Rick, did you see it? I mean, you know, the over-under was 50. And I kind of said, okay, well, I'll see that. 56-22, did you see that?
No, I didn't see that many points, Randy. I didn't see it happening and starting as fast as it started.
First play of the game?
Yeah, I mean, it was – and but there was it was complete dominance by Indiana. Oregon had no answer for them defensively. just absolutely no answer for them. And the penetration of the defensive fronts of Indiana and the games and scheme that they played, I'm going to tell you, the quarterback from Oregon, and I hate to say bless his heart because some people
Dante
take
Moore.
It wrong. Yeah, he just didn't have a chance. He never had a chance.
I think after that first play and that interception, yeah. his confidence was shot.
Yeah.
And it certainly showed now. I mean, he had 285 passing yeah. yards last night.
Yeah, but a lot of that came late. Lots of it came late because they were throwing the ball every down
yeah.
late in the third quarter and into the fourth quarter. And, you know, he had a running back run into him, caused a fumble, got the ball inside the red zone, another score. It was just score after score for Indiana.
Well, we're going to talk more about that. We'll talk about that Ole Miss game, that Miami game, because, again, SEC, we were all kind of pulling for Ole Miss to win that ball
sure.
game. And you really got to give them props to go as far as they have. I think the Lane Kiffin issue kind of might have been a little bit of a deterrent, but on the field it didn't really look like it.
Yeah, I don't think Lane not being there had anything to do with it.
No.
Yeah. I don't know. I've heard different stories coming out of Oxford about that. I'm not so sure that Lane didn't make the best decision for himself to get out of there.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I just think it was time.
Yeah.
I think it was time. And he, the way he handled it, just did. I mean, he went to the athletic director and tried to get it arranged for him to coach the team. And they said, no way. And I understand that. And so just go on. Just go on. Go do your business. And run the program at LSU.
Well, we'll talk about that in the next segment because I want to break that down. And from a coaching standpoint, yeah. there's something I want to talk about coming up on that. But of course, you got the championship game that'll be playing a week from Monday down in Miami. Is that a home game for Miami? It could be. I mean, there'll be a lot of Miami fans down there, but I promise you, Indiana will travel pretty well as well.
You know, the question there is they're playing, Bobby, they're playing in Miami, but Miami's a visiting team. Are they going to use their home locker room, or are they going to give that to Indiana and then go to the visitors' locker room?
I hope that's the way it is.
I do, too.
I mean, you know, you're the visitor.
That's
you're
right.
going to the visitors' locker room.
That's right.
So there you go. All right. I got about a minute left in this segment. Bobby, as we always do before, as we crank up the show, you got a little golf tip for us. Get ready to go out and play golf this week.
Yeah, you know, with the warmer weather coming around and it's helped you in your ball flight, you know, and in your distance control. Usually in the wintertime, I'm telling you, get an extra club and get a softer compression ball because it's colder out there. But it's been so warm, I think you can stay with the Pro V1 and some of the better balls. You can still compress it out there. But I still like the idea of swinging 70 and 80%. I think that's very helpful. Take one little more club. Put your ego in your bag. Take one extra club. So what if you're 10 or 12 yards past the pin? It's just, you know, you don't want to be 10 or 12 yards short or hit short of the green. You know, hit that extra club, swing a little easier, swing within yourself. I think that's a good tip for this time of year. Now, this coming week is going to turn a little colder, so you do want to have that extra club or extra length in your swing. So if you hit your 7-iron 150, let's crank back to maybe a 6-iron and hit it a little softer.
So you had the opportunity to this young man beside you, did he play golf with you yesterday?
Mr. Rick?
Yep.
No, not yesterday.
No, we were in the same. We all played.
He had a foursome,
and we had a foursome, I think. Or we both had five. Yeah.
You had a foursome. We had a fivesome.
Yeah.
Kudos to Dr. Ross Bishop. Unfortunately, he lost his daddy this past week. Mr. Clarence passed away at Bishop and Bishop Pecan down there in Fairhope. But Ross got out of the house yesterday and had a little time to himself, and we played. He played very, very well. He shot 75. He had two closest to the pins, I think two skins. And he had a big smile on his face at breakfast this morning.
So you know,
Ross played very well.
I didn't know Mr. Clarence died until I got home yesterday, and I was going through some stuff, and I saw his obituary.
Yeah.
And we had a segment this morning about Mr. Bishop. Good guy.
He is a good Mr. Clarence is a great guy, a great guy. And Dr. Bishop certainly is as well. So
you know what I hate is y'all may have. I didn't get a chance to tell Ross how sorry I was because I know that was a big loss for him. I do.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, we're going to take our first time. Got to talk some basketball, too. You got SEC cranking up at 11 o'clock. Got a big game, Tennessee and Florida. Yeah. Rick, I know you follow a lot of basketball as well. I got to tell you, was it last week we had Brad Law on with Auburn Network, and Auburn and Georgia played that afternoon. That was a good ball game.
Great game.
They went into overtime. Georgia gets the win on that, but I really thought Auburn played well.
Well, they played well, and they played well late to get the game into overtime. But then in the overtime period, they kind of discombobulated offensively, and Georgia just imposed their will on them to win the game.
All right, we'll take our first time out. When we come back, we're going to talk some basketball, talk a little football, talk a little golf. We might even throw in some cheesecake. So don't miss it. Don't go anywhere. More of Southern Fairways right after this.
Hi, it's Brian Baumgartner from NBC's The Office. Don't miss out on the first Southern Fairways Golf Tour event at Peninsula Golf and Racquet Club. For more information about our tour, visit southernfairwaysgolf.com/tour. Tour memberships are available and, well, there are some great benefits. And if anyone knows benefits, it's me.
You're right, Brian. Hey, if you want more information, check us out, southernfairwaysgolf.com/tour. And welcome back to Southern Fairway Sports Radio Show. Randy Bergen along with Bobby Hall and Coach Rick Cleveland. Glad to have you on board with us. Do watch out. Bobby, you mentioned a little earlier the weather going to get a little ugly today. Going to get a little cooler as well. You heard Brian Baumgartner there as well talking about the Southern Fairways Golf Tour. We will crank that up on February the 22nd at Peninsula. You can go to southernfairwaysgolf.com/tour and register, become a member. Be a lot of fun. We got Cypress Bend, Gulf Shores Golf Club, Brock Creek, Glen Lakes, Timber Creek. I mean, we're playing all over the place. We'll do the Tournament of Champions on January the 25th at Kiva Dunes. So should be a lot of fun. You won't be there, Bobby, because you'll be in Orlando.
I'll be in Orlando, so I'll have to miss.
Well, we will miss you for sure. I can promise you. Hey, let's talk real quick. I want to get into the football. Let's break that down. We'll throw some basketball in there as well. But talking about the Ole Miss-Miami game, Rick, Pete Golden comes in. I think that was his third game as the head coach.
Yeah.
I know when he was at Alabama, there were a lot of folks that didn't like him, okay? I don't know. I liked Pete Golden.
Yeah.
I mean, you're an Auburn guy.
Yeah.
Standing outside looking in, what's your thoughts on Pete Golding, and how's he going to do it at Ole Miss?
I think Pete is a perfect hire for Ole Miss in the situation that they were given. I thought the athletic director, Baker, went in and made the right decision because they needed some consistency, continuality, whatever you want to call it. But he knew all the players. Especially defensively, and he had a great relationship with everybody. I just think it's the right hire. But, you know, every coach that's in his position at the University of Alabama is going to catch static. Kane Womack is caught a lot of static as a defensive coordinator. I think if you listen to the guy who knows him the best, he says he's highly qualified to be in the job he's in. And when Nick Saban says that, he doesn't just say things to hear himself talk. He says it because Pete is qualified. I thought offensively the other night that they're able to keep the Weiss, the offensive coordinator Weiss, has been there the whole time. Now he's back at LSU with Lane, but he was there the whole time. I thought they did about as much as they could do against one of the premier defenses in the country. They missed a couple of passes down in the red zone late in the game that could have really secured the win for them. But the story is, with a minute and 40 seconds to go in the game, all they had to do was stop Miami, and they just couldn't do it.
Right.
And that's the bottom line.
Do you think Carson Beck's experience had something to do with that for Miami?
I think Carson Beck's got a real challenge in front of him. I think he was prepared to be in that moment. He took a lot of heat early in the year for Miami's woes, and Miami was lucky to get in, to be honest with you. They really were.
Yeah.
Even though they were deserving to be there, they were a 10 seed coming in. And in all actuality, that's the last seed. So what we've got is because the other two were for the lower divisions. And so you got the number one team in the country who has solidified their number one.
No, there's no doubt.
And you're playing the team that was the final seed to get in the national championship. So, I think it's going. I think it's going to be a really good football team between two good football teams. I think Indiana is a great team. I think Miami is a good team. I just don't see Indiana getting beat in this game.
Well, and I want to talk about that in a second, but I'm going to continue talking about Ole Miss for a minute.
Yeah.
And talking from a coach's standpoint, you see Lane Kiffin takes the job in Baton Rouge. Yeah. All right. The AD there at Ole Miss says, no, you go ahead and go. You're not going to stay with the team. Pete Golden gets the job. Do you think that was the right thing to do? Because we saw at Tulane, we saw that coaching staff be able
John
to stay.
Summerall
was able to stay and coach his team, although they didn't win. We kind of knew that was going to happen. But do you think that was the right thing for the kids to see their coach go instead of being a part and take them as far as they did go? And would it have made a difference had Lane been there against Miami?
Well, I think his agent handled it the way that he felt was the best way to handle it. I don't think Lane had a whole lot to do with it, to be honest with you. And in today's world, those guys don't have a lot to do with the choices that are made as far as what we're going to do and what we're not going to do. They just get the opportunity to say yes or no. All the work. I think if Lane could do it himself, I think what he would have done is he would have not said anything to anybody and told LSU, just be quiet.
Yeah.
Be quiet. I'm going to coach my team till the season is over, and I don't want to talk about any other jobs until then. Now, when our season's over, if you want to talk to my agent and talk to me, I'm good with that. And LSU would have done that because they were hell-bent on having Lane Kiffin as their coach. And so that's just where I am. I think Lane, in a perfect world, would have said, let me stay where I am until my season is over, and then we'll talk. But it got out of hand.
Bob, you got any thoughts on that?
Well, we don't like government control over telling us what to do, but I think there should be – the NCAA should put their foot down and say,
agreed,
nothing happens till the end of the season.
Good.
Sorry. Yeah. NIL, going into the portal, changing jobs, should just wait till the season is over and then let everybody start off on the same foot.
Yep. Agree 100%.
Speaking of the transfer portal, your man at Auburn, your wide receiver, Cam Coleman, he is in that transfer portal. Where do you think he winds up? We know he's at Alabama, has visited Alabama.
Yeah, I think he ends up at Texas.
Do you?
I think Sark's. Yeah.
How's Lacey doing over there at Texas?
I don't have any idea. We don't hear anything about anything but Manning, and that's normal. I mean, you don't hear much about the backup quarterbacks at all, and I don't think he's two. I think he's at least maybe at best three. I would not be surprised to see him in the portal. I wouldn't. And maybe I'm just going on coach talk. Of course, I thought for most of the year we'd see Ryan Williams in the portal, but that's not going to happen.
Well, we're going to talk about that with Mitch in about 6 or 7 minutes.
Good.
Because there's some things obviously happening at Alabama. I think there's some good things probably happening. There's a lot of Alabama fans that are very disappointed. As an Alabama fan, I can tell you I was disappointed in that score against Indiana. But then you take – maybe it wasn't that Alabama played that bad. Maybe Indiana's that good.
I think they're that good.
I do, too. And by the way, let me say this. Bobby's tip a minute ago. If you watch Bob, I hate to change the subject,
well,
but I got to mention it. He's not even swinging 60%. He's not. He's not swinging.
You know what he reminds me of? You know, whenever you played tennis and you were a world class tennis player, and you're just going out, just kind of just volleying over the net, not hitting hard. No. You're just hitting it back and forth.
Yeah.
That's the way his swing is.
We watched it all day the other day. I mean, from behind.
Just don't watch my putting.
Yeah, please don't.
My putting. Don't
watch
my putting.
As whenever Bobby and I play golf, he squinches his eyes whenever I go to swing the club. I have to do that watching him putt. Sorry. I'm joking. Off. I'm joking. Bobby putts well.
Thank you for the compliment. Yeah. Yeah, just swing within yourself and stay balanced. I've always preached that.
Good Lord, have mercy! He does that.
Well, let's talk about this game coming up, Indiana and Oregon. You mentioned it, Miami. Miami will be the visiting team.
Yeah,
Indiana will be the home team playing in Miami. How does that? What does that? Again, and I'm using your experience as a coach to pull the answer out here. Does that affect the Hurricanes in any way, being basically the visiting team in their hometown?
No, I don't think it. First of all, if you saw how Indiana traveled yesterday to Atlanta, they had the home field advantage. They're going to travel to Miami too, and they're going to spend whatever amount of money they need to spend. As far as Mark Cuban's concerned, he'll buy every seat in the house. Made that comment. He said so. No, I don't think that'll make any difference. What's going to make difference are the Jimmys and the Joes? That doesn't matter where they play.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. I think it's kind of quaint that Miami, the last time they won a national championship, they played at home. They wore the white jerseys as the visiting team, and here they go again.
Yeah.
So it's all about the players.
Got about a minute and a half. Let's talk about that Indiana head football coach, Kurt Cingatti. I mean, listen, he's pacing that sideline with determination.
He's intense.
He's
intense. He doesn't care about what people say about him. And I don't know that they say bad things, but I don't know why they would say bad things about him. He's doing his job. He's fulfilling the contract that Indiana expected him to fulfill. And when you watch him on that sideline, his facial features are not the most pleasant thing you'll want to see. It's because he's in the game. And all he's thinking about is what's going on that field. And you asked him yesterday, I thought of some of our buddies. Ask him after the game, he'd won the game, a big win, everybody's celebrating. And they ask him about, well, what are your plans for getting ready to play Miami? He said, I'm not thinking about any of that. All I'm thinking about is getting in there and having a cold beer.
enjoying the win.
That's
for sure.
Right.
Well, you know, and again, another fruit from the Saban tree.
That's right.
You know, and you see that with Cristobal as well.
Yeah.
You know, our great friend Russ Wood makes a comment about Bear Bryant. He's up there in Memphis coaching his last game, and right to the very end, Coach Bryant's on players right to the end of the game, his last game, and he's still coaching on the sideline with 5 seconds left to go, and he's on somebody's ass about doing something wrong, and that's the way this coach is.
Yeah.
He's coaching right to the end. They may have won by 20, 30 points, but he's still coaching right to the end. I like that.
That person you're talking about was Russ Wood. He was coaching the last 5 seconds of the game.
Right.
So,
he's that kind of coach. Yeah, he has that kind of temperament.
Absolutely. All right, we'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll visit with Mitch McConnell right here on Southern Fairway Sports Radio Show. We're talking Alabama. You won't want to miss it. Rick, name that tune and the artist.
I should be able to, but I'm so hipped up on reading something about Steve Kittrell here. It's Baker
Street.
Baker Street.
Jerry Rafferty. There you go. All right. A little trivia here on Southern Fairways. And here's a guy that knows all kind of trivia on our Boudreaux's Cajun Grill guest line. By the way, cheesecakes are available. The Mardi Gras cheesecake is available at Boudreaux's Cajun Grill. If you've not had it, you've got to go by and try it. But Mitch McConnell on the line with us. Mitch, how you doing, my man?
Randy, if I was any better, there would have to be two of me, man. I'm very blessed. I'm back in good health, boys.
I know the last time we talked to you, you were a little under the weather.
Yeah, it turned out I had pneumonia, a little thing called pneumonia. So it was pretty serious. So I'm glad to be on my feet.
Yeah. We are happy that you are as well.
Better this morning than the Oregon Ducks are feeling. After suffering some of the same fate that Alabama did. Boy, howdy. Wow. Indiana.
Well, listen, and that was what we said a few moments ago. The score was just blown away. Was it 38-3 the final in that ball game, Alabama and Indiana? Was it that Alabama played that bad, or was it that Indiana was that good? And I think after watching them play Miami last night, played Oregon last night, that they were really that good.
Well, I'll tell Coach Cleveland and Bobby that I had about 11 friends text me and say, McConnell, are you feeling any better about Alabama watching this? And my answer was, you know what, maybe about 5%, because, guys, that's one of the best college football teams I've seen in a long time. And, you know, the standard is the standard, and Nick Saban said it, and four coaches in the semifinals all from the Saban tree. So it's interesting that Alabama's isn't. And that's part of the story that will unfold this year, isn't it, guys?
Well, it is. Now we'll talk a little Alabama with you here in just a second. But, Rick, Bobby, hey, you look at this Indiana team right now, they're 15-0. When's the last time you've seen an undefeated team like that?
I guess it was Nick Saban's team. It was 15-0 the last time, wasn't it? Wasn't he the last one that did it?
Yep.
It's been a few years. But
this you just don't see that now.
No, you don't see it. But this Indiana team is where they're really good. I'm talking about really, really good. It's where it really matters, is up front on both sides of the ball.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. Mitch, talk a little bit about it. I know that you've had some conversations with the folks there, some of the players as well at Alabama. What is the what's the pulse there on the campus?
It's really – I've been the most worried Alabama fan. My mom told me not to do that. I should pray when I worry, but I've just had a lot of worry. And in the last 48 hours I hate to use this pun, Bobby, but the tide has been turning. And what's happening, I think, is galvanizing. And the transfer portal, Cam Coleman, all this stuff. But you look at Josh Ford, Hollywood Smothers, Caleb Woodson, Caden Sherry. These are legit starters jumping in. And guys, it's a weird world when you're wondering if you can get back the guy that went to Auburn and keep the guy that's at Alabama. And are they friends? But I have a forecast a little different than Coach Cleveland for Cam Coleman, by the way.
And you would like to share that?
I'm hoping, based off the things that I've been told and the guys I've talked to, that he will be committing to Alabama. Now, here's the difference, guys. He wants to play one more year of college football, go to the pros. Doesn't care what he can make in college is his story. So he's either got to relocate to a new family and new state and new everything for a little more money, or take about 80% of what Texas will give him and come to Alabama that could benefit his life for the future. So I think there's more going on than money. And, Coach, if it's money, it's going to be Texas A&M or Texas or the almighty dollar that's being spent at 182% rate, LSU. But Cam Coleman, I don't think it's all about money, guys.
Well, his mom and daddy are – some of the finest people you'll ever meet. And I would be surprised. I'm just going by what I've been told as far as who his top choices were. I think his mom and daddy would love to see him be in Tuscaloosa. But I know this, and I've seen it firsthand. He's going to have to change some things, Bobby and Randy and Mitch, because his practice procedure – is not what a Nick Saban. I tell you this, if Nick Saban were his coach, I don't know how much he'd play because his practice leaves a lot to be desired. It does. And watched it three different times. And he – yeah. Well, he's a great player. He makes the great catches. He's got to make the simple catches, too, and he's got to block better, too. So,
well, Randy, the big picture, guys, think about this. What says it better than Indiana that it really is the character of the players and the collective team chemistry that matters more than any individual effort, much less if you have a five or a four star by your name. And Kurt Cignetti has certainly driven that point home, if nothing else. And I tend to agree with you. If you got a prima donna, you don't want him, but we'll see what happens and if he's grown up a lot from who he used to be.
We're visiting with Mitch McConnell right here on Southern Fairways. You know, and we had on the Prep Sports Report, we had Carla Johnson, the head basketball coach, girls basketball coach for Hoover, who played at Alabama. She said something, and Rick, you know, she said that what's happening now with money and the sense of playing just 1 year here, there's no sense of loyalty and everything. Look at the difference whenever you have a team that buys in and has loyalty to not only the team but to the coaches as well. And when the coaches have loyalty to the team, what can happen? I think Indiana is a perfect example, as you mentioned there, Mitch. I think that's a perfect example.
Well, LSU is going to be fascinating next year for 100 different reasons, starting with the head coach. But they're also going to invest more money in their roster than I believe any team in college football will. So if they're not winning games, and Ole Miss is, for example, I really think – the SEC is quite interesting, but I don't think you can buy a team, boys. And I'm hoping Coach DeBoer is building that culture. It sure seems like it. But the transfer news, Randy, is very, very good right now. And the team that we kept, a lot of the players that left, they wanted them to leave.
Well, that's not all bad either. I mean, sometimes you got to get rid of that and start fresh. Now, as far as how is the feeling for DeBoer right now? I mean, there's a lot of Alabama folks, and Mitch, we've talked about it. A lot of Alabama folks that are saying, get rid of him. And there's a portion that are saying, hey, slow down. Let's let him get his people in here.
Yeah, I think a lot will be told in year three, don't you guys? I mean, this is probably the year where you're held most accountable. But I think, Randy, the big question everybody has is, since Alabama did not hire a coach from the Saban tree, does that person have that quality that all Alabama fans have gotten spoiled by, which is toughness and discipline, things you might see in an Indiana team and really even Mario Cristobal at Miami? And that's going to be the question, Randy. And the players have a lot to do with it. So I have some optimism because the roster shaping up, I think it's going to be exciting, and every kid wants to be at Alabama and taking a little less money than they could have gotten elsewhere. And that sort of is how they drive that point home.
Very good. Visiting with Mitch McConnell, Bobby.
Well, I was just thinking back to my days at Southern Miss when Jeff Bauer was coaching, and we didn't have a big locker room, and they didn't have a big weight room, and they didn't have all that stuff, and how Coach Bauer would instill pride in the Nasty Bunch and the players that came out of there, and the Sammy Winders and the great players that came. He would take that unity and put it together for the team, and he would capitalize on not having the things that other schools did. When they visited the Ole Misses and the Auburns and the Alabamas, and they saw all the great locker rooms and all the great training facilities and the great field and all that, and how he would use that to motivate his players that here we're a bunch of scrappy guys and we can have unity and we can win. And so that's a big part of what these coaches have brought today. So, you know, I think a lot about Jeff Bauer in those days, and we've kind of lost some of that at Southern Miss, but yeah, when you have unity on the field and the way these players are playing, I think DeBoer has that. He's not from from the Alabama tree under Saban, but he brings a lot to the table. So I think you're right, Mitch. You give him one more year, let him get his players in there, and this will be a true telling season coming around in 2026.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in Coach DeBoer, and I believe he can do it. And I think he's achieved a lot. You know, I think the big concern we all have is when Alabama gets beat, it doesn't look like an Alabama team. So, you know, what is his ceiling, but what will his floor be next year? I think that's going to be the big test. But the roster, boys, is shaping up. The coaches are fired up. And, you know, look, arms race with all these new coaches, including Auburn's. It's going to be a crazy year next year, is what I think. And Alabama, Austin Mack, Keelan Russell, they're in good shape with quarterback, and I'm real happy for Ty that he's going to go to the NFL, and I think he'll be successful, guys.
Well, one of the things I want to talk real quick about Auburn's new coach, but the I think one of the things that we have to look at Alabama is that backfield. We got to get some running backs back there because we just I believe that kind of hurt us a little bit this year. Visiting with Mitch McConnell, Rick, I got to ask you real quick. You got a new coach there at Auburn. How's the feeling there, and what's your expectation out of Golich?
We lost a lot of players. When you lose 30 yeah. plus players, you've lost a bunch. I'm happy that his quarterback from South Florida is coming.
Right.
I think that was a key to get Brown in there. At the same time, I want to ask Mitch something real quick,
sure.
if you don't mind.
Sure.
Mitch, I thought the offensive line play has almost been just
dismal.
Just very dismal. And I just wonder if there's going to be – you think the coaching staff will stay in place? Because at some point in time, somebody's got to be accountable for that. And Ty Simpson ran for his life most of the year. And, you know, the running game was dismal, to say the least.
It sounds like you've been a fly on the wall for a lot of the conversations that I've had the last day, because that's been a topic. And I can't really get into the details, but I do think you might see a change. And quite frankly, it's almost a mandatory thing. You can't imagine an Alabama football team looking that inept running the football. And really, guys, last year it was Jalen Milroe. And so the running game was not there. So you don't just point at one guy, but you pointed at a lot of things. But I think there might be a change on the forecast. Let's put it that way.
Well, I think as an Alabama fan, we're certainly looking forward to it. I mean, you look at the size that Alabama had on that line, and we couldn't push anybody off of it. It was sad to see. It was really sad to see. All right. Well, Mitch, so let me just wrap this up real quick in a little red bow. We're feeling good about Alabama in 2026.
I would feel better about Coach Cleveland and I's chance against you guys in tennis if we had to bet some money. But we're going to bet $5 when we play y'all in golf and $500 when we play in tennis. But neither of us have ever played before. I don't want to be a sunshine pumper, guys, but here's the bottom line. College football has never been more difficult. Alabama has a heck of a coach. Amen. He's got to make some changes with some staff guys, but the team chemistry that I forecast them having, I think it's going to be a really good year. But God knows LSU might be the next coming to the New England Patriots circa 1999 for all we know. So it's going to be an exciting year. But I think Alabama's in good hands, and people that worry, they need to be appreciative instead of worrying.
Amen.
Mitch, listen, as always, we appreciate your insight. We appreciate you taking time to be with us and everything that you do for us. And look forward to having you back on real soon. Have a great weekend, my man.
I just hope there's not a fist fight between the Indiana head coach and Oregon, because Miami, because Mario Cristobal will win that fight. He might not win the football
right,
game,
Mitch.
But he went in a street fight that Kurt Cicchetti, but those great guys. Y'all enjoy some good golf today, I hope, boys.
All right, buddy. Sounds good. Mitch McConnell with McConnell Automotive. Be sure and check them out at McConnellAutomotive.com. We take a time out. When we come back, some basketball and golf right here on Southern Fairways. Putting wraps on this edition of Southern Fairway Sports Radio Show. Randy Bergen along with Bobby Hall, the director of golf at Quail Creek Golf Club in Fairhope, Alabama, and Coach Rick Cleveland hanging out with us today. And, Bobby, I do want to talk. We're going to get the schedule for the SEC basketball set up for you here in just a few moments. But I want to talk a little golf with you. There's some neat things happening in golf, and especially on the LPGA.
Yeah, the LPGA is going to kick off the season coming up in 2026 with the Hilton Grand Vacations down in Orlando, and I get to be a part of that with the celebrity side of it. But the LPGA, in trying to improve, and they have the new commissioner of the tour, and they've put some things together, and they're getting together with Tiger Woods, McIlroy on the TMRW Sports, which started WTGL, which is the golf league that we see on TV, mm-hmm. where they play indoors, and it's pretty exciting. Young people around the country have kind of picked up on that, and they're going to have their second year coming up. But they're going to invite the LPGA to be a part of the WTGL starting in the late side of 2026. So that's going to give the LPGA some firepower and get them on TV a little more. And with the team concept, I think that's going to be a lot of fun. And to see the girls play, we always know the girls swing real well, and their rhythm and the way they strike the golf ball, especially people like Nelly Korda and Charlie Hull, the ladies from overseas, the Koreans and the Japanese that work so hard at their golf game and have great swings. And I show a lot of swings when I'm giving golf lessons to people because their timing and their balance and their rhythm is so good. So that's exciting coming up in 2026. So you're going to see the ladies playing a little more, especially on that indoor golf. I think it's going to be a little fun and give them extra exposure.
Have you watched any of that, Rick?
Not much of that. I watched, I think I watched about a 30, maybe 30-minute snippet of something like that I'm just not keeping up with as much as I should. Really.
Yeah. I know you have, Bobby, and I've watched it, and I think there's certainly some positive things, really neat things about that. I'm just wondering how they can keep people watching it. Okay, because it's good for a little while, and then for me, it kind of dialed, like, right. Okay, now you kind of, I'm getting bored with it.
Right, and I understand that. You know, it is indoor golf. It's not the same as playing outside. But the camaraderie, and when you get the stars there, and you get the Jordan, the Thomases, and you get McIlroy, and I'm anxious to see Tiger's named on the Jupiter team coming up this year, but, you know, with his injuries, is he really going to be able to hit it? But, you know, they're trying to combine. You look at the teams, you know, they're international teams that bring stars from all around the world, from England. Matsuyama's playing, and, you know, and the English guys, you got Lowry in there, McIlroy. So, you know, and it's kind of a world-class thing. So there's going to be a lot of interest in it. And with the LPGA coming, yes, I'm going to watch it. Do I have the enthusiasm of watching Indiana and Oregon play? No, I'd rather watch a little football, to be honest. But in the off season, you know, I think it's good. It's good entertainment.
Well, I'm ready for golf to get started for sure. And look, there's some funny parts of TGL. There were some shanks. Tiger, you know how whenever we'll say, what's the distance?
Yeah.
We'll say 65, right?
Yeah.
You know that there's 100 in front of that, right? Like 165. One of the TGLs that Tiger was in, they said, I think, 99 or something. And that he meant 199. He hit a 99-yard shot.
Almost realized
what
it
is. I saw that. I did see that.
That's pretty funny. And he handled that well.
Yeah, he did. What about the guy leaving the LIV Tour trying to get his
Brooks PGA, Koepka.
Yeah, Brooks Koepka trying to get his PGA card.
Boy, that's a whole nother story, and that's a big gray area there. I don't know how that's going to work out. I mean, you know, if they let him in, then they're going to start letting the other LIV guys that want to leave and realize the power that the PGA Tour has and what it's like to play in the States. I think he needs to go back to Q School and requalify. He's got U.S. Opens under his belt and all that, but he left the tour. He took the money. If he wants to get back on, I think he needs to earn his way back on. I think anybody that left LIV or left to go to LIV wants to get back on. They need to qualify through Q School, go through the same stages as young men that are trying to get in there and not give them anything.
But he'll have exemptions because of his winnings.
Right, because if he has an exemption to the PGA Championship or the Masters or the U.S. Open, still continue to have those. He wants to play in a tour event, he needs to get back up and requalify.
I love that.
That's my two cents worth. worth. Now, he, you know, they say, well, he left because he had health reasons and he didn't know if he was going to come back. And now working with a trainer, his back's stronger. He's feeling better. So he wants to get back with the tour. But he just needs to earn his way back on. Yes, would I watch Koepka? Absolutely. Model his swing, teaching his swing, some of the things he does. I think he needs to turn his mouth down a little bit. He gets a little noisy sometimes. I think he says the wrong thing and pisses a lot of people off. But, yes, would I like to see him playing back on the tour? Sure. I'd like to see all of them come back and play the tour, but you're going to have to go requalify. That's how I think you get back on. You don't give them anything.
There you go.
That's fair. I agree. I think that's as fair as you can be.
Yeah. I mean, so money's not an issue for you.
Oh, no.
All right?
No.
Now it's just the pride of being able to go back out and play on the PGA Tour. And I agree with you, Bobby. Hey, go prove yourself. So what? You played 54 holes on the LIV. You played, you know, you played shotgun starts. I mean, nothing. And this is what we talked about on some of these majors, why some of these guys were not winning majors. And it's because I thought, because they only played 54 holes, there wasn't a lot of pressure. They had teammates to help them get wins. And it's not like you have to play 4 days of mental game out on the PGA Tour, especially in those majors.
Now, what do you think about this? LIV is talking about going to 72-hole events. Maybe they'll have a cut or won't have a cut. But playing 72 holes, do you think they should be allowed into the world rankings now that they're playing 72 instead of 54 holes? Do you think, based on their points and how they play, should they get world rankings? To my opinion, no.
It's a great question.
They don't make a cut.
Yeah.
So, I think they're trying to ease in and maybe give somebody that's playing LIV 72-hole events that shoots some low scores and has a good scoring average at 72 holes versus 54. Should that be considered for the world rankings? And I say no. I'm just playing hardball about that.
Are the European Tour players that play the European Tour, are they included in world rankings?
Yes. Yeah.
But they're playing – I mean, I'll use the term spinoff of the PGA. I mean, they're playing it like with those rules and everything. So the LIV
holes,
is not – yeah, you got
holes,
cut.
They have a cut, and they have to keep up with the scoring average, and that scoring average should allow you to qualify for other events. Absolutely.
All right, let me good stuff on the golf, Bobby, and I'm anxious for golf to get started. You know, my favorite week of the year is the week of the Masters.
And they're already showing ads about it.
Yeah, I know.
Getting me excited.
We'll need to go for sure. All right, real quick in basketball in the SEC, Tennessee will take on Florida. That's on ESPN coming up in about 4 or 5 minutes. LSU travels to Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt ranked 11th. Boy, they played Alabama earlier in the week, and Alabama just couldn't hang with. I mean, it's a good ball game.
Yeah.
But Vanderbilt right now is just unbelievable, ranked 11th. Number 18, Georgia, will visit South Carolina. You'll see that game on ESPN2 at 1 o'clock. Oklahoma and Texas A&M on the SEC Network at 2:30. Arkansas and Auburn, they'll be there at Neville Arena in Auburn. You can see that game on ESPN at 5 o'clock this evening. Missouri at Ole Miss on the SEC Channel at 5 p.m. Texas travels to Tuscaloosa to take on number 13, Alabama. That'll be at 7 p.m. on ESPN, and Mississippi State and Kentucky at 7:30 on the SEC.
Yeah, Kentucky is the one that all of us are kind of you can't figure them out. They just they had a big lead the other night against Missouri and lost it. The team that's surprising is Texas A&M, a high school coach turned Samford University coach in Birmingham.
Yeah.
Former head coach at Mountain Brook High School, now the head coach at Texas A&M.
That's awesome.
They're like 13-4 or something like that, and 2-0 in the SEC.
Well, there's some good basketball going on. I know there's a lot of folks say, man, I don't even care about basketball. There's so many games and all that until March Madness.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, there's some good basketball. If you get an opportunity, Auburn's playing good basketball. We talked about that against Georgia last week. Alabama has been playing some good basketball. They got a young man from Mobile and Phelan who is
phenomenal.
Amazing. Yeah.
Played at Baker, right?
They did.
Yeah.
Sure did. And but anyway, good basketball. If you get an opportunity, there you go for that. Do want to remind you, too, on February the 22nd, if you want to join the SFGT, that's the Southern Fairways Golf Tour, we would love to have you. Our 10th year we're doing this, Bobby. Mm-hmm. And Bobby has been our official rules official for those 10 years. So, but we're looking forward to it. Well, it happens again on starting on February the 22nd at Peninsula.
And by the way, thank you for the nice little plaque, a reminder that I'm the official rules official, and the little trophy memento you put together for me with the Golden Eagle. That's pretty cool.
I don't think, but you didn't see the
hat. Bobby Ray, that's really nice.
I'll have to show it to you.
That's right on the front of my desk, for sure.
Well, we appreciate it. We appreciate it for sure and everything that you've done for the tour. But we would love, we're growing, and we would love for you to come join us. It's flighted. A ton of fun. You can become a member, get discounts, all kind of stuff. But check it out, Southern Fairways Golf Tour. You can go to southernfairwaysgolf.com/tour. And become a member and come play with us because we will have fun.
Yeah, and you play some great golf courses too.
It is fun.
Great schedule.
We do have fun. You have to watch Coach Cleveland now. You get in his flight, you know he's going to win.
I never won anything on that tour. Never, ever.
Well, there's a first time for everything.
They need to lower my points.
Mr. Negative. Hey, come on.
Let me tell you what we're doing. We're going 54, not 36.
Oh, I love that.
We're going 54, not 36.
There you go.
Okay.
So we'll talk about those changes coming up.
Like that.
All right. Mm.
I even say Roll Tide for that.
Hey, there you go. We knew we could get it out of
We struck a nerve.
There you go. Hey, we want to thank you for hanging out with us today. If you get an opportunity, get out and play some golf. Go see Bobby at Quail Creek. Go see our buddy David Musial down at Glen Lakes. You will have a blast at both places. All right, for the whole staff here, Rick, thanks for hanging out with us. Yeah. Bobby, thanks for being here. We will see you next week. Hit a knee, say a prayer. God bless America. God bless Israel. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye, everybody.